Hello, it's Tuesday, January 31st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be heard at www.wingtv.net. We have to tell you about something that happened last night that is so indicative of humanity in this day and age that it really boggled our minds. We went out to eat last night, and there was a new restaurant that opened. It was called Quaker Steak and Lube, kind of based on the Quaker State Oil Company. It's NASCAR themed and so forth. Just opened a couple weeks ago. So we pulled into the parking lot, and the one section of the lot is completely filled with cars. I mean, so much so that you had to park like half a mile away, it seemed like. So I pulled up, and then I saw this thing that says, "Do not enter." And it led to another parking lot, another section of the parking lot, that had no cars in it whatsoever. Nothing in there.
You would have had to go around the restaurant to get to that section.
Yeah. So I was like, why should we park way down at the end there when I can just go right here and park there?
And there was no traffic in the
parking lot. Traffic. It's a private parking lot. So I just went through the do not enter sign, backed into the spot, and there we were, almost right up next to the door. Now, when we're doing this, there's a truck right behind us, and they come right up to the same sign, and they stop. And me and Lisa are sitting there in our car, and you can tell the driver of the truck, he's looking at all these cars way down at the end of the nose.
And then he looked at the do not enter sign, and then he looked at us.
Yeah.
And then he looked back at the parking lot.
So he's sitting there trying to decide what he's going to do. And I say to Lisa, I says, well, let's see if this guy's going to be an independent thinker, or let's see if he's going to be a sheeple. Is he going to follow the sign that says do not enter and park way down at the end of the lot? Or is he going to do like us and just pull through and park right next to the front door?
Which would have been the easy, more sensible thing to do. And so he sat there for a couple of minutes, just this dilemma, this conflict. Yeah. What do I do?
And as he's sitting there, I'm saying, don't be a sheeple. Don't be a sheeple. Don't be a sheeple.
Victor was going, is he going to be a sheep? Or is he going to be a free thinker?
Yeah.
And we get out of the car and I go, he's a sheep.
Yeah.
Because he turns the truck right into the way that you're supposed to go, that they want you to go.
And I was like, no, he was a sheeple. And the only thing that was preventing him from moving forward was a sign that said, do not enter. There was no police there. It's a private lot, so he wasn't breaking any laws.
Right. It wasn't like the restaurant Nazis were going to pick him up if he went through that sign.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to get a ticket from a cop or anything like that. There wasn't any flagman there pointing him to go to the other direction.
Yeah. And there was no traffic in the other direction. Like I said, we were the only ones that parked in this section where it said, do not enter. And it was unbelievable because we were walking towards this truck, and you could see his head going back and forth, back and forth. What should he do? What should he do?
He was freaking out about
it. Yeah, and he couldn't drive through the sign that says, do not enter. So he parked way down at the other end, and I was just like,
we were just laughing.
I couldn't believe it. And we walked right by the sign, and I pointed to Lisa. I said, this sign right here, this one piece of metal was what prevented him from coming forward about 10 feet and parking where we did. It was unbelievable and so indicative of the sheeple mentality in our society. And it goes way beyond just cars in a parking lot. How many people are sheeple to the mainstream media and the government and on and on and on?
I mean, we're laughing now and we laughed then, but it's really a sad state of affairs. It's really pathetic.
It is. That's the perfect word, pathetic. Now, as most people know, tonight, our president, your president, George W. Bush, is going to give his State of the Union. Regrettably, we're going to tune in. We're going to watch it. We'll give you a report yesterday. And we want all of you out there, if you have your ideas and thoughts, send them our way. Because some people did tell us what they thought of that Flight 93 movie last night. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Academy Award nominations came out today. And yesterday, we posted an article about Steven Spielberg. And he got nominated for Best Movie, his Munich movie about the Olympic terrorist event. But yesterday, Steven Spielberg said that he would die for Israel. He would give his life for Israel. I don't know what else to say about that.
I think I don't want to ever see another Steven Spielberg movie again.
Yeah.
I think I want to boycott Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. I mean, I was never a big fan of Steven Spielberg movies to start with, and that just reinforced.
Well, and he helped fund the legal defense for Deborah Lipstadt, who exposes historical revisionists and tries to debunk them. In fact, she was integral in the David Irving case.
That's
so,
right.
And he helped fund her defense. Steven Spielberg did, along with Edgar Bronfman.
Yeah, and, you know, the conservative radio talk show hosts always talk about Hollywood having an agenda. Well, folks, Steven Spielberg has an agenda unlike any other, and believe me, it's a Zionist agenda. Now, Flight 93 was broadcast on A&E last night. It was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, Flight 93 fairy tale made-for-TV movie.
And we got some responses. We asked people yesterday to write a little review about this because we couldn't bring ourselves to watch it. First came from Vinny Sammartino, a great 9/11 researcher. And Lisa, go over some of the notes that Vinny said about this movie and his comments.
Okay, Vinny did take some notes and listed some important moments, notable moments in this made-for-TV drama. He began with, the opening scene showed supposed passengers going through security, and then he puts in parentheses, if only there were security videos to confirm this. So, looks like the people who did this movie took some creative license. FAA notices Flight 11 off course. Vinny says, no sign of them calling NORAD, though. Supposed terrorists on Flight 93 put red headbands on. Wow, they really are getting creative because Muslim men aren't known to wear red. Terrorists storm the cockpit, kill the pilot and co-pilot, take over the piloting of the jet, and then they do something weird. They buckle their seatbelts. Vinny got a kick out of this. He says, I guess they didn't want to hurt themselves when they crashed the jet. Then, of course, the infamous cell phone calls were made, as in, Mom, this is Mark Bingham.
He had to identify himself to his own mother.
With his last name. Passengers find out that a plane hit the Pentagon. Vinny says, I don't think any of us knew that yet.
At that point.
Then more cell phone calls were allegedly made. The transponder turned off. And then the infamous Let's Roll was heard.
By Todd Beamer.
Right. A farmer sees the jet flying upside down several hundred feet overhead. The jet crashes, resulting in a smoking hole. The plane morphs into the ground, gets liquefied into the ground, and all we have is a smoking hole. A fireman at the site reports that there's little in the way of a jet there. Well, duh. And then he says he thinks it might be in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Vinny.
So there's a crater there, but the plane's not there, so the plane might have bounced into the woods. Now, we got another review from a guy named Jeff Pickering, and he touches upon the same thing Vinny concludes with, where he said, this is what Jeff Pickering says, I was amazed that at the end, a fireman said something like there was no plane in the crater and he didn't know where it was. He goes on to say then that this is a deviation from the propaganda. Now that's a very important point because the whole thesis of our book, Phantom Flight 93, the Shanksville hoax, is that Flight 93 didn't hit in Shanksville, but was instead a crater that was created by a missile to divert everyone's attention away from the actual crash site in New Baltimore.
Yeah, but I still think they want people to believe a plane actually crashed there and liquefied into the ground. And I think
that's absolutely
where they were coming from with that the plane just morphed into the ground, and that's why all you saw was a hole, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, Pickering goes on to say that there was an overwhelming dependence on the cell phone calls, and that the government theory was enforced throughout the show, until he says there was a comment from a fireman about him not knowing where the airplane really was. He said they also showed a telephoto shot of the black mushroom cloud at impact, and he said there were no more burning remains at the base, that means at the impact site, which is a violation of the fuel load burn that no one would expect. So you see there's a little element in there where if anybody knows what's really going on, they could have picked through this propaganda movie.
But what they're expecting is that people will just allow their heartstrings to be pulled this way and that and not really look closely at the information that's being given. It's just reinforcing the programming.
Right. Now also, we played at the end of yesterday's show a clip from Alex Jones's radio show, and the person that actually made this phone call into Alex's show wrote us today after he heard it at the end of our show. Here's just a sampling of his comments.
Right. He said, yay, Lisa. He said he absolutely nailed Alex, the He-Man Jones, as he calls him. He says, communicating with people is a privilege. He called me a buffoon. All he can do is call me names and say I'm an operative and that they're going to kill him, and then he puts me on hold to do it. What a coward. He won't take me on. He puts me on hold. He even said, put him on hold. He said, that's worse than a Rush Limbaugh tactic. And you know what, Mark? We agree with you. It is worse than a Rush Limbaugh tactic, but it's standard fare. Whenever you call up Alex Jones and you ask him questions that he doesn't want to answer, you get this type of treatment. And Alex Jones is a total coward. So, yes, Mark, you are a talk show warrior. Keep up the good work.
And the one point that got me the most was when Alex Jones put Mark on hold, and he went into this rant and called him names and blah, 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 blah. And then he says, all right, if you have something, bring it to the table and let's get it out in the open.
See, when you put it on the table, Alex smashes it with his hands and like dumps it off the table. He doesn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, so Mark says, well, Alex, why don't you tell everyone how you sold off the Gray family to ABC News? Click. Alex hangs up on it. So just 10 seconds earlier, he said, let's put it on the table and debate it.
Right.
And then when it is put on the table, he hangs up the phone. Alex Jones is a coward. He's a Rush Limbaugh wannabe. And this is the sheeple mentality again. People that are listening to this guy are no different than the people listening to CNN or Fox News. It's the sheeple mentality.
It's kind of a schizo behavior.
Yeah, it's schizoid to say the least. And, you know, here's another thing we were talking about the other day about the alternative media. That we have Daryl Bradford Smith. He's calling himself the Black Mamba. We have Alex Jones, who's morphing into these LSD spider routines. And then we have George Norrie.
Who sees shadow rodents.
Who's seeing shadow rodents. So we have Black Mamba, spider, shadow rodents. I mean, what are they becoming? Sesame Street? Or is this some kind of like Marlon Perkins?
Sounds like something out of a Spielberg movie.
Yeah. I mean, is this like Marlon Perkins' Wild Kingdom or Animal Kingdom, whatever that show is called? How is anybody supposed to take these guys seriously?
Stupid human tricks.
Yeah, when it's like stupid human tricks, there's spiders and snakes and shadow rodents. It's incredible. Just incredible. Now, as we said this week, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about our upcoming war with Iran and what's really going on behind the scenes, why we're doing it. And today, the second installment involves the real reason why America invaded Iraq. And we've been given all kinds of different reasons, haven't we, Lisa? In the mainstream and alternative media, they're saying it's weapons of mass destruction, terrorism, or we're only there for the oil because of Saddam Hussein or Al-Qaeda, or 9/11, or the best one of all, that we want to spread freedom and democracy throughout the Middle East. I mean, they don't even want freedom and democracy in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, how are we supposed to buy that they want it over there?
No, the point is that Saddam had switched over to the euro.
Yeah. In November of 2000, Saddam said, you know what, why should we keep using American money to buy oil? He says, why should we? So what he did in November 2000 was switch from the U.S. dollar to the euro. He also switched all of his U.N. reserves from the dollar over to the euro. And what this was doing was it was threatening the dollar's monopoly on oil purchases throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what America was saying in no uncertain terms is that we didn't want there to be any other choice.
Right.
Other than the dollar as the sole petrocurrency to buy oil.
Right. So the first thing we did when we went over there was install a central bank.
That's
and,
right.
And the nations of the world that George Bush characterizes as rogue nations are the nations that don't have central banks and aren't tied back to the Federal Reserve and doing what the financiers at the top of the chain want them to be doing.
That's right. And the biggest message that was sent to Iraq and to the rest of the Middle East or any other country selling oil is don't convert your money over to the euro because the dollar is going to remain dominant.
Do you remember when we first started doing the show and we said we weren't for the war, but we understand why they went into Iraq and that we knew that they wouldn't be able to just pull back and leave. And we took a lot of heat from a lot of these so-called liberals saying that we were pro-war, and they didn't understand, and we spent several shows trying to explain what we were talking about, and a lot of people didn't get it, and this is what we meant.
Well, the biggest
thing, we knew they couldn't just leave.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing with the anti-war crowd is that they don't look beyond the nose at the end of their face. They say, we don't want any war, and that's it.
Well, we don't want war either, but we know that we're in it for a reason other than weapons of mass destruction or to liberate people through death and destruction.
Yeah, and all we were trying to point out was we were saying that there's much more involved in this than just end the war. You know, Cindy Sheehan, very naive perspective saying, end the war. We don't want anybody killed over in that god-awful desert. Nobody whatsoever. But we have to look at everything, the entirety of this situation, other than just what the mainstream media feeds us. So as Lisa said, we shock and awe ourselves into Baghdad after we invade, okay? Now, we're in the middle of a war, right? We're in a war with Iraq. What's the first thing our country does? We set up a central bank in Baghdad.
And a puppet government that is pro-United States agenda, pro-New World Order agenda.
Yeah. Now, think of this. When you're in the middle of a war, why would you set up a central bank?
Yeah, aren't there more like important things to do?
Yeah, but there's more than this, than just that. We also ripped up all of Saddam Hussein's oil contracts.
That were denominated in the euro.
In the euro, right. Then what we did was say, if you want oil from this country, you have to start buying it in American dollars again. And then we tied Baghdad's central bank directly into the Federal Reserve.
Right. They don't want any competition for the dollar.
That's right. The other thing we did was Iraq had this thing called the Oil for Food Program, which was also denominated in the euro.
And they nixed that.
Yeah, within 2 months of George Bush coming out and saying, mission accomplished, that program was done too, because it was based in the euro.
Right, so if they had pulled out, then there would have been this problem again, because they would have just resumed going back to the euro and their old contracts and whatnot.
Yeah.
They now, had to stay there.
After we invaded Iraq, if you remember correctly, there were a lot of countries that were in opposition to us. Well, why is that? Well, we have something called the Coalition Provisional Authority, the CPA, and they're the ones that went in and ripped up all of Saddam's contracts. These were $1.1 trillion worth of oil contracts that were made between 1997 and 2002. And they were made with countries like France and Russia and China, countries that very desperately needed oil. We ripped up their contracts. Now, how do we get to this position? How is it that of all the countries and all the peoples and all the currencies in the world, we can only use the dollar to buy oil? Why is that? Well, in 1971, Richard Nixon was the president, and he made one of the most grievous errors ever in the history of this country. He took us off the gold standard.
Yep.
Now, shortly thereafter, Henry Kissinger, along with our Treasury Secretary at the time, William Simon, made this secret backdoor deal with Saudi Arabia's King Fahd, where they said the only type of currency that can be allowed to buy oil from OPEC nations is the U.S. dollar. And if you want to read more about this, we don't have time to get into the whole scenario, but we have a book called The New World Order Illusion that has a very long chapter that completely covers this, and you'll see how the world came to the point that it's at right now.
Right, and so now we're looking at Iran, and Iran wants to set up the oil bourse, denominated in the euro. Now, what do you think is the more immediate threat to the United States? Their supposed capability to produce nuclear weapons, or the oil bourse, which will force a competition between the dollar and the euro?
That's right. And so what we had in the early 1970s was we took our country's money off the gold standard. So the gold standard was replaced by the oil standard, the secret deal that Henry Kissinger set up. And since now all of the oil was priced solely in U.S. dollars, the oil standard became the dollar standard. So the dollar standard replaced the gold standard, and this became the de facto fiat currency for the entire world. I mean, if you look at the World Bank, or if you look at the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, everything they do is in the dollar. So, what this did for America was it was a huge benefit, because since everybody has to stockpile our money, and we're going to get to this in later shows also, is that they're essentially subsidizing our country.
Right.
And secondly, the Federal Reserve. Since our money is no longer based on gold or on silver, they can literally, the Federal Reserve can tell the Treasury Department to print money at will, and that's what they're doing. Now, this is good for us because we can enjoy spending way beyond our means, But the blowback is that we now have this astronomical $8 trillion deficit. We're spending like crazy on the war machine. Our social programs are out of control. George Bush hasn't vetoed a single spending bill.
Right. We have no industrial base to speak of. And what would happen if we stopped getting the free skate every year? Because we consume more than we produce.
That's exactly it. That's the key to everything is that we get a free skate because everybody uses our money.
Right. And so what happens if they decide they don't want to use our money anymore?
Yeah.
Then what do you think will happen to our economy?
So that's the reason why we went into Iraq. It's all covered in the New World Order illusion. That's why we're targeting Iran right now. It's not because of nukes. It's not because of WMDs.
Right.
It's because they want to switch away from the type of currency used to buy oil. And none of the major networks, talk radio show hosts, newspapers, magazines are laying this
right
out to you.
And as I said yesterday, in 2003 to 2004, Russia and China significantly increased their holdings of the euro.
Right, and what China's
not
also...
Not the dollar.
Yeah, what China's also doing, ever since we ripped up... Here's what we did, see? We ripped up all the contracts. Well, ever since that time in 2002, 2003, China has been very aggressively making oil contracts or brokering oil contracts with a variety of other nations. I think 15 of them now, including Canada, Venezuela, Argentina, and so forth. So China's basically saying, you guys burned us once by ripping up the contracts. You're not going to burn us again. And they've also entered into big-time oil deals with Iran.
Right. Also, this oil bourse will foster strengthened ties between Europe and the Middle East, which is a stated and known objective.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to cover in subsequent shows. So we still have at least 8 more shows on this that we're going to keep delving into it. And as we said yesterday, folks, this is the gist of what's happening in our world right now.
And it's not hard to understand.
No, it's not at all.
So we're going to just take it increment by increment, and we'll lay it out the way the mainstream media refuses to lay it out.
Right. And since we're talking about this today, Alan Greenspan will attend his last meeting of the Federal Reserve. He's going to be replaced by Ben Shalom Bernanke. Listen to the name. You'll know where our allegiances lie.
It just gets more pathetic every day.
Last but not least, we're going to appear on Kelly McGinley's radio show.
The Varian Chronicles today, I believe at 3.
3 o'clock right? p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're around, tune into that. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on. And remember our story at the opening of this show. Don't be a sheeple.
Think for yourself. See you all tomorrow.